You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast, presented by Student Union Sports. Here are your hosts, Al and Powder. Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 199. As always, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything on StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcasts and everything else that the website has to offer. Make sure to check out the Not Gonna Lie podcast, which demonstrates everything that you need to know about NFL insider stuff, analysis, betting, anything that you can think of. That's your podcast for NFL action. And then the Is It Saturday Yet podcast, which is our college football podcast on the network, especially with the regular season ending, the college football playoffs forming. That is where you're going to want to get all your info, especially if you want to make a little extra money too. So make sure to check in to that. Alan Hagan here tonight. Tom Powder Cadmus here tonight. Powder, Thanksgiving was good.
Yes, it was. It was nice and relaxing after traveling the past couple of weeks down and back from Georgia for two straight weekends. So probably should have stayed there for 2 weeks instead of flying back and forth multiple times, but it's good. It was nice and relaxing. How was yours?
It was good. I was local, stayed home, and I enjoyed every second of it. So I have to ask you, do you get your peaches down in Georgia?
I should have if it was nice enough. While I was in Georgia, it was 32 degrees every day. So I don't think there's any peaches around.
That sounds awful. It sounds like Massachusetts in the winter.
Oh, it was miserable. I had like 5 8 a.m. games the two weekends. Just absolutely freezing.
Yeah, I commend you, sir. Being down in Georgia, I thought it'd be nice. Maybe it'd be like 50 degrees, maybe even like 60. Nope, 32. Nice and cold. Sweatpant weather. Long sleeve weather.
Oh, I had 3 or 4 layers on every day.
So, can confirm, Powder does not get his peaches down in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber, you lied to us. Why? Why did you lie? Great song. But anyways, we're not going to talk about Justin Bieber's music career. We're going to talk about the latest and greatest going on in Boston sports. Not a lot to talk about, but still a couple topics we can get in depth about. Patriots suffer I don't want to call it heartbreaking, but it was definitely a crushing Thanksgiving night loss to the Minnesota Vikings. We will review that game and preview the Buffalo Bills game coming up on Thursday night, December 1st. And we have a little debate that I got inspired from listening to the Scott Zolak and Mark Bertrand show on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Zolak and Bertrand. And I'm going to just talk to Powder about it, and we're going to have some fun with it. But before we get into all that, programming note, next week is our 200th episode.
Big day.
Huge, huge day. 200. Big momentous occasion for the Legends Lingo podcast. We have been doing this for just about 4 years now. We started in 2018, so 19, 20, 21, 22. Yep. Excuse me, 4 years now. And we're going to celebrate. We're going to have some fun. We're going to have a lot of former guests come back on with us, give us some of their takes. They're going to get to ask us questions. We're going to have a new guest or two come on and join us for the occasion. And hopefully that'll create some connections for the future. And we'll be able to get them back on and enjoy everything that the episode has to offer. So please be on the lookout. And if you listen to this and you want to be a part of the 200th episode, feel free to direct message us on Twitter at Lingo Legends. Our DMs are open. We are happy to have anybody that wants to come on and everybody that wants to come on. We'll give you a little time slot. You can talk with us and we're just going to have a good time. We're going to kick it.
Yeah. For those guys who have been around for a long time, if you remember episode 100, it's going to be similar to that, but I think this time a little more organized than last time.
Yes, episode 100 was pure chaos. That's when Fiesta was still a part of the show. Yeah. And Powder and I were talking off air about this, and then we'll get into the actual sports talk. But we had a loaded crew. We had Dallas Braden, Jared Carabas, Chris Cotillo, Mark Bertrand, Lauren Campbell, Steve Scott. we had a bunch of other people on, too. It was a really great time. It was just so much fun. And I'll never forget. That's where my intro comes from, is that episode. It was great. So going to be a lot of fun. There will be a couple guests with us that were with us for episode 100. So that's going to be good. We're obviously not going to say which one. So you can kind of figure that out on your own. But again, it's going to be a fun night and it's going to be a pretty pretty, I don't want to say non-organized night, but it's going to be a little bit looser than usual.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. So again, episode 200 coming next week. Make sure that you tune in because that is going to be an absolute great time. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it. Patriots. Not good. No. So Patriots lose to the Minnesota Vikings 33-26. And Powder, there are so many directions that we can go in this game. So we talked off air. You watched 99% of the game. You missed like the first couple minutes, which it's okay. That is what it is. What's one thing that you want to talk about in this game that really stuck out to you?
Just, I think I talked about this the last time I was on. I think it was 2 weeks ago. But it's just, I don't get why the Patriots, all of a sudden, I don't know if Brady was just that good of a leader, but just offense, defense doesn't matter. It's very sloppy with penalties and all that stuff. It's not what we as Patriots fans are used to. We've seen it a million times that they just win games because they're the better prepared team. I don't feel that way anymore.
And you know what, Powder? You have a right to feel that way because a lot of Patriots Nation feels that same way. And let's think about this, right? The Patriots for two decades were a team that prided themselves on winning because the other team made mistakes.
Yep.
That was the Patriots' MO. They were a clean football team in the sense that penalties were down. They were smart, took advantage of opponents' mistakes. And now they're turning into their opponents. One stat that really sticks out to me is that the Patriots are in the top 10 in the NFL in penalties and penalty yards. That's not good. You don't want to be in that top 10. And not only that, Powder, but it's the timing of the penalties. Like, let's think about a couple of these penalties for a second. I remember it was the Patriots forced the Vikings to mess up a third down. It was fourth down. The Vikings are about to punt. Pierre Strong runs into the kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it, like roughing the kicker, whatever you want to call it, that's a penalty. That keeps the drive alive. Vikings score on that drive. There was another drive earlier in the game where it was third and nine, and Matthew Judon runs off sides. And then it's third and four, and then the Vikings convert, and then they score there. And then when the Patriots get into the red zone, and we know, Powder, that the Patriots' red zone efficiency has been awful this year. Do you know where they are in the NFL as far as red zone efficiency is?
I would say have to be bottom half, if not bottom 10.
Try 31st, Powder, out of 32 teams. So you are the second worst team in the NFL in red zone efficiency. So as soon as you get in your opponent's territory, inside the 20-yard line, you cannot convert and get points. Isn't that kind of sad to think about?
Even though I know the Patriots don't have the best offense in the league, but you still think a team like that would be able to at least get a field goal, if not seven.
Right, but here's the problem, Powder. They can get field goals, no problem.
Yeah.
It's the fact that they can't get in the end zone. That's the problem. Because you think about it, if you have Nick Folk on your fantasy team this year, you really hit the jackpot in the kicker spot because Nick Folk gets at least 2 to 3 field goals a game.
Easy
with this team. But then it's also the uncharacteristic mistakes. It's the offensive line committing penalties. It's the illegal procedure penalties. It's all of these dumb penalties that force the Patriots to kick field goals instead of scoring touchdowns. And that's what drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to throw a bright side in on all this, Mac Jones had a pretty good game. You know, the Vikings secondary a little banged up, but guess what? He took advantage of what he needed to take advantage of in their defense. 28 to 39, I think about 380 passing yards, give or take.
382.
Two touchdown passes, no picks. And guess what? He should have had a third one. He should have had a third touchdown pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that drives me nuts too. So it was tied at 23. I think the Patriots had just come out. That's not what happened. So what happened was Patriots come out of halftime. They score a touchdown. Very next play, Vikings take a kickoff return to the house, tie the game at 23, which Kyle Duggar, by the way, got held on that 100%. Kickoff return.
100%.
Should have gotten called back. Like that was ridiculous. But that's neither here nor there. Game's tied at 23. Patriots are driving down the field. It's third down. Mac Jones finds Hunter Henry left side of the field in the red zone. Looks like Hunter Henry catches it, tries to extend for the touchdown. And then when Hunter Henry goes to the ground, the ball's squirming around, but Hunter Henry never lets it drop onto the actual ground. Hmm. And they call it an incomplete pass. That was the wrong call. Mm-hmm. When you look at the replays, you see Henry's hand is right underneath the football. It doesn't touch the ground. It's in his hands. And the only time it pops out is when he rolls over, and it rolls onto his stomach, onto his chest.
Yeah.
Still there. It's not like it rolls to the ground after. So that would still be a catch. And I don't understand what the rule is with a catch anymore. I just don't get it.
Does anybody in the NFL know what catch is?
No. Dez Bryant's still trying to figure that out. But with that, so now instead of it being at the very worst a completion, the absolute worst that should have been powder is fourth and goal at about the half-yard line.
Yeah.
And then if you don't punch it in, then you really stink and you don't deserve to win the game.
But the thing is I heard this is, and I think I saw one of the replays, Henry actually didn't need to extend his hands. I think when he caught it, he was already over the line.
It was close. It was very close. Very close. But again, at the absolute worst, right? So in your situation, they score the touchdown and they're up 30-23, and then the whole momentum of the game changes.
Yeah.
But then, instead of that, it's fourth and goal. I forget where they were. I think they were at about the 12-yard line. I could be wrong. They kick a field goal, and they're up 26-23. And then some stuff happens. Some stuff just happens. It just drives me nuts. Like, that's the thing. Stuff happens within these Patriots games. And it needs to stop happening. Because if not, you're very realistically looking at being eliminated from the playoffs. Like, last week, you were the sixth seed in the playoffs. You were in the playoffs. Now you're the eighth seed again. And you need some help. Because the Jets did their job. The Bengals had a nice road win against the Titans. Now they're 7-4. Guess what? You got to play the Bengals at the end of the year. You already took care of the Jets. So as long as you can tie the Jets record-wise, you get the tiebreaker for the head-to-head. But the Patriots' schedule, Powder, is not easy for the rest of the year. It's actually one of the hardest schedules. Their schedule for the rest of the year, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is home against Buffalo, at Arizona, at Vegas, home against Cincinnati, home against Miami, at Buffalo.
You're 100% correct.
Okay, so there you go. You have to play arguably the best team in your division still twice. You got to play the second best team in your division once still, who's rolling, by the way, in Miami. They're rolling.
Yeah.
You have to play Cincinnati at home, who has Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and a lot of weapons.
Defending
AFC champions. Yep. You got to play Kyler Murray and you got to play Derek Carr and Davante Adams and the Raiders. So, like, there are some people on Twitter. I'm not going to name them because they're good friends of ours. But they were saying how they could be 4-2. Right now, with the way that they are currently playing, I don't see that happening.
No.
How could you? I could see, realistically, Powder, I could see this. I could see the Patriots beating the Cardinals because the Cardinals are a dumpster fire right now. I can see them beating the Raiders because same thing. They have massively underachieved this year. And then you got to win 2 out of 4 games where you're playing Buffalo twice, Miami, and Cincinnati.
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do it. Yeah. I don't. And you know what's funny, Powder? And I know we're kind of going off the rails here, but just because all the conversation. The Patriots this year against the AFC, just the AFC conference, 5-2. They're 1-3 against the NFC North. They shut out the Lions. They lost in overtime to the Packers. They got obliterated by the Bears, and they just lost to the Vikings by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Now imagine, right? If you play called better against Green Bay, if you got the breaks against Minnesota, and you actually came prepared to play against the Bears, you're talking about a team that's in the top half of the top seeds in the AFC for the first four seeds. But again, it's shooting themselves in the foot with stupid penalties, inconsistencies, bad coaching, and everything else. And this Vikings game was another example of it. Undisciplined, lack of focus, badly timed penalties, extending drives for the opponent, not finishing drives on offense. So I don't know where you go from here.
Just have to find a way to win some games that a lot of people think they shouldn't win.
Yep. So in one of those games, we're going to talk about it right now.
Yep.
Buffalo Bills. Patriots are playing the Bills in Foxborough on Thursday night. And Powder, I am terrified for this game. I am regretting this game already. And the game hasn't even started yet. We're not even 48 hours away and I'm regretting it. Let me ask you this. How are you going to beat a team that has a couple things going for them? First of all, they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Josh Allen. And he's a mobile quarterback. It's not like he's just a big guy that can't move. We know how well Josh Allen can move. We know he can create plays with his legs. You have one of the best wide receivers in the game in Stephon Diggs. You have a team that has one of the best passing defenses in the NFL. I think the Bills are like third in total passing defense. Rushing defense. Third best rushing defense. And what type of team are the Patriots, Powder? A rushing type team.
Yep.
Their passing defense is like middle of the pack, maybe like even a little bit lower. But regardless, if you can't score points against Buffalo, if you cannot get the ball in the end zone, how are you going to compete with this team? You can't. You're going to have to rely on the defense. And by the way, that defense hasn't forced Buffalo to punt in two games. I know it's a stupid stat. I understand that. But guess what? It's reality. You did not have Buffalo punt once in the playoffs last year, in the playoff game where you got blown out.
Yeah.
Or the last regular season game against Buffalo in Foxborough. So again, where do you go from here? How do you win this game? I don't know how you win it. The only way is if the defense plays their best game of the season, and the offense can continue to build on what they did in Minnesota. That's the only way. Because you're not going to get Mother Nature on your side like you did in Buffalo last year. You're not going to get like that type of break again. You have to go out and beat the Bills. And right now, you have to play, I don't want to say a perfect game, but pretty close to perfect if you're going to beat them. Plain simple. Any other analysis you want to throw in, Powder, before we kind of get into score predictions?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with everything. I just think this game's a very, very scary game for the Patriots. It's going to be tough for them to win.
It's going to be very tough. So let's just get into the score predictions. Bills, Patriots, Thursday night. What do you got for a score, Powder?
I feel like I've been a homer most of the season, but I can't see the Patriots win this game. The only, it being at home, maybe, because they're at Gillette, but still, the Bills beat them last year in Gillette. I'm going to do Bills 35, Patriots 14.
Yeah, it's funny. I was kind of thinking about what the score would be. The Bills are going to put up points. I'm sorry. I think they're going to put up points. They are going to try to find a way to neutralize or shut down Matthew Judon. And then they can kind of shut down the rest of the line. I'm going to go Bills 31, Patriots 13.
Yeah. Similar scores.
Yeah, very similar. The Bills are going to win easy. This is a game they should win. They need to win it to kind of, you know, separate themselves a little bit in the AFC, get themselves in a top seed situation.
Yeah.
So if the Patriots win this game, playoffs are back on.
Yeah, 100%.
No doubt about it. playoffs are back in play. But if they lose, which we both think they're going to do, 6-6 heading into the last 5 weeks of the season, you got to go 4-1 to have a shot. Exactly. So I know I've said this the last, like, I don't know, like 5-6 weeks, but this is the Patriots season. This could very well determine their fate for the rest of the season, this game. And obviously, wrong team you want to go up against, wrong situation you want to go up against. Especially after a crushing loss to a team that you should have beaten. You should have beaten the Vikings.
Yes, definitely.
You outplayed the Vikings, besides the fact that you made the mistakes that you did.
If you don't run into the kicker, then you'll probably win that game.
If you don't run into the kicker, if you actually convert in the red zone, if you actually
tackle calls, on a kickoff.
Yep, tackle on a kickoff and, you know, get the call back.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you should win. But guess what? Patriots made too many mistakes. They didn't deserve to win that game. They played a lot better at for most of the game, but the times that they didn't, they made the mistakes that shot themselves in the foot. Plain and simple. So we'll see what happens. Next week we'll be back with it, and we'll kind of see if the Patriots are at 500 or if they're looking at, you know, a chance to be in a playoff spot again. So we'll see what happens. All right, one other topic that we'll talk about tonight, then we'll kind of wrap up, and then obviously we'll save all our energy for episode 200 next week. So I was listening on the way home from work to 98.5 The Sports Hub, Zolak and Burchard. And the thing that I love about it is they put it in podcast form now. So you can listen like by hour. So like hour one, here's what they talked about. Hour one, you can listen. Hour two, hour three, hour four. And there's no like commercials, no Sports Hub headlines, which I still like listening to, but that's beside the point. So I think it was Mark Bertrand that came up with this point. Fellow, actually former Legends Lingo guest, two-time guest, Mark Bertrand.
Two times.
One, two. So Mark Bertrand came up with this question. Which Boston winter sports team has had the more impressive start? Now keep in mind, the Bruins right now, 18-3. The Boston Celtics, 17-4. Very, very similar records, kind of running through everybody. So, Powder, that is my question for you. Who do you think has had the more impressive start this year to their season, the Bruins or the Celtics?
I mean, I not watching either of them, I have to go with probably the Bruins because obviously I do follow them a little bit. I know Marchand came back late from an injury. They're an older team. They have veterans. I know Tatum has been playing, I think, the past couple games for the Celtics, if I'm not mistaken.
He missed one on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. But I just think the Bruins, because everybody thought they would be decent. They'd be a middle-of-the-road team because, like I said, their age and everything. But I think this core, like we've talked about a lot, they want one last run at it, and I think they're giving it everything they have. I think they're more surprising to me because I think the Celtics coming off a finals appearance, they had high expectations. I think they're kind of living up to those expectations as the best team in the East. I think they could be that team and should be that team. For the Bruins, not being a hockey fan at all, but to me, I thought they'd be a middle of the pack, make the playoffs, but maybe win the first round if they play the Leafs again, because, you know, they always beat them, but not go very far. But if they keep obviously they're not going to keep a 18-3 stretch the whole season, but if they can stay top, let's say three seed, maybe they can make a run at it and make a deep run at the playoffs. So this to me is a more impressive start.
So I full-heartedly agree with you. I think the Bruins are the more impressive start because one little stat to think about. The Bruins did not lose to a team that was based out of the United States until the day before Thanksgiving. And the season started, the very first game of the season was, trying to see it here, I don't know if I can quite find it, but I think it was like October 12th or something like that.
I can tell you, give me one second.
But regardless, your three losses this year, you lost to the Senators, who you scored 5 goals against. So you just had a bad night in net. I think I might have been Jeremy Swayman that started that game. I forget. But you had one bad game from your goaltender in that game, which gave you the loss. So that night, it was Jeremy Swayman. And then Linus Allmark came in. Your second loss was when you had that Mitchell Miller fiasco. And I think that there was some, you know, something going on there, because as soon as they get rid of him, they start winning again. So I think there was something there with that. And then you lost to the Panthers the day before Thanksgiving, the Florida Panthers. So again, 21 games, you've won 18 of them. Pretty good start.
Very good.
But here's the thing that I want people to remember too. The Boston Celtics, yeah, they went to the NBA Finals last year, but think about all the stuff they went through this offseason.
Yeah, Ime.
Right, all the stuff with Ime Udoka, right? You know, all this story comes out, they get rid of him, he's gone. A new head coach in Joe Mazzulla. And not only, Powder, are they winning almost every night, the offensive numbers have been incredible for the Celtics, record-breaking. I watched the Celtics-Hornets game on Monday, November 28th, as we're recording on the 29th. And obviously, the Hornets aren't that good. They're very banged up, low offensive efficiency. But the thing is, they put up 45 in the first quarter.
Yeah, I thought I saw that.
45. You put up 140 points total in that game. The Celtics can score. And to go back to kind of the way they were playing last year in the second half of the season, I mean, you hear the term like Super Bowl hangover, right? Like, think about the NFL. The Bengals struggled out of the gate. The Rams are not going to make the playoffs this year. They won the Super Bowl last year. Like, that's a thing. You know, these teams that go to the finals, sometimes they just don't have the energy to put it together back-to-back seasons. Look what the Celtics have done the first 21 games. And they've beaten some good teams. You know, yeah, they have their problems with Chicago and Cleveland. Those are the two teams that beat them this year, twice apiece. I understand that. But also, look at some of the wins they've gotten so far this year. Mm-hmm. And look at the margin of victory, too. Jason Tatum's playing at an MVP level. Jaylen Brown should be an all-star. They're doing all this as well, Powder, without Robert Williams.
Yeah.
Who should be back around Christmas. So again, the Bruins, I think, are more impressive. But don't knock the Celtics for their start. The Celtics deserve their credit, too.
Yeah.
Because 17-4, best record in the NBA. If you can get the number one seed, it's going to serve you really well.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I'm just looking at the Celtics schedule real quick. They beat the Mavericks. They beat the Kings, who had the second best offense in the league. Obviously lost to Chicago, but other wins, beating Atlanta by 25 on the road, beating the Nuggets by almost 20 at home, beating the Grizzlies on the road, beating the Knicks easily on the road. Just trying to see some other ones. Beating the Heat on the road. There are some good wins in there. So again, it's great to see both teams off to such an impressive start.
Yes.
Now, if you ask me who I think is more sustainable to keep up their long-term success, Powder, I think that's a very easy answer. Which team is more set up right now for long-term success?
Oh, it's definitely the Celtics.
The Celtics, right? Exactly. Yeah. Especially with that young core. The Bruins have a lot of guys over 30 that are doing it right now.
Yeah.
And they kind of know that this is Krejci and Bergeron's last hurrah. But the Celtics are set up with two guys in their mid-20s. They have other main pieces that are also in their mid-20s. Yeah, they have Al Horford that's older, but that's really it. You know, like Danilo Gallinari's 33. He hasn't played yet.
Yeah.
Malcolm Brogdon's 29. You know, they have a lot of young pieces, and they're set up really well for the future too. And it's finally what we've been waiting for. So again, Bruins are probably the more impressive start. But the Celtics, I think, can do it in the long term.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's basically it. That's pretty much all there is for this episode. Nice and quick one. I mean, Red Sox, they failed to sign Jose Abreu. He's off the Astros, 3-year, $60 million deal. Of course, he was a top priority for the Red Sox. Go figure. The interest kings are back at it again.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm just waiting for some news to drop about Xander Bogaerts. So that way we can kind of talk about it, or Rafi Devers. I'll take either one. I'll take a meaningful like signing. I'll take something.
Definitely.
But that's kind of it. hopefully the Patriots can pull off an upset this Thursday night and go from there.
Yeah.
As always, make sure to find the Legends Lingo podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, everywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Again, check out studentunionsports.com. Check out all of their writings and all their podcasts and everything else that the site has to offer. Episode 200 next week. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. A lot of guests, a lot of laughs, a lot of good takes, maybe some bad takes. Who knows? But for Tom Powder Cadmus, I'm your host, Alan Hegan. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 200.
Yes, sir.